Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I just want to say thank you to Don Newsom, Doug Newsom, and Seth Hendrick over at VBS Radio for providing us with this excellent platform to raise consciousness using positive media. And I am excited to tell you about our guest this evening. His name is Marco Misonato, and Marco has a way of reaching our pets and all animals through music. And it's a pretty incredible story. And I've never seen, we have two puppies now. And when we first got the little puppies, they barked all the time. And I was going through my husband's supplies at his office, Stellar Communications. He's a publicist. And I said, who's this Marco Misonato, and what is this Pets Love Music CD? Because I hadn't noticed it before we had pets, but that now that we had pets, I noticed it. And I said, can we please listen to this? He said, oh, yes, it's wonderful, and Marco's really great, and told me the whole story. And he put on the music, and we only had one puppy at the time, and his name is Chewbacca. And he calmed right down. He had been barking like crazy because he wanted to get out of his playpen and play. And when the music came on, he calmed right down and really, really listened. So, you know, I found that to be compelling, and there's really something there because, you know, nature, animals, humans, we're all connected, and music is such a wonderful source of healing and calm that I really wanted to have Marco on the show. And I'm going to read a bit from his bio now and let you know that Marco Misonato was raised in the beautiful ancient city of Rome, Italy. His gift for piano composition began blooming at the age of 6 years old. For the first 20 years of his life, Marco's relationship with music was lived privately in his room with a vertical piano, gift of his mother. At the beginning of the 90s, Marco left Italy for Los Angeles to dedicate himself to his passion. In 1992, he graduated as vocalist from the nationally acclaimed Hollywood Musicians Institute. 1 year later, he recorded his first instrumental album, Nostalgia, which he entirely self-financed by singing Italian and international hits in restaurants and clubs. Shortly after the release of Nostalgia, Marco met Oscar-nominated actress Sally Kirkland and Hannah, who engaged him as a composer and singer-musician in the theatrical show Nonny Bruce and the Power of Love. In 1994, he founded Music M, his music production company, and in the same year, he made his singing debut in his next album, Marco Misonato. His vast popularity and support from fans motivated him to record two albums, Amore Italiano, Volume 1 and Volume 2, a collection of Italian hits widely successful with the general public. And since he's been in the States, his music has been featured in numerous theatrical productions, as well as in television series Melrose Place, that we all know, and Port Charles, which is a soap opera. Recently, Marco finished the production of two new albums, Naked Soul, which features his original solo piano work, and is performed by pianist Lilia. Music to Make Love is a collection of original instrumental and vocal pieces, and he is presently working on the orchestration of Naked Soul, whose release is planned for the end of 2010. In addition to this project, he is composing the music for a new solo vocal album. Strongly evocative, Misonato's romantic melodies inspire listeners to open up to their highest and truest selves. His goal is to reach the inner depths of the melodies from within. And without further ado, I would like to bring on for you Marco Misonato. Hi, Marco.
Hello, Kate. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yes, I've really been looking forward to it. Your music is just so wonderful. It is describable, but it's almost indescribable. A person should just experience it, really, to get the feeling that it gives you, because you can talk about a feeling you feel about something all day long, but another person's not really going to get it until they hear it. So,
music, it is very difficult to talk about music. That's always the case. When music is channeled, when music is pure, it's a vibration that is a little bit higher of the mind. And therefore, it's hard to use the words to describe it. You just have to listen to it.
Exactly. And your music is so I mean, if you had it on all day, I'm sure your day would just be so much better. I know when we listen to it in the office, it's just such serenity that we feel. You know, everything is better. I know you have four websites, at least four that I know of, and I'm going to give those out to our listeners, and they can choose to go see which one they want to go see. But right now, I believe, being that I would like to talk about Pets Love Music most of all, and we'll talk about everything else as well, I'm going to give the PetsLoveMusic.com website. That's PetsLoveMusic.com. And the next one is MarcoForYourEvents.com. And you go out and play concerts and play music whenever anybody would like to plan an event, you would do that. And another website of yours is MelodiesFromWithin.com, MelodiesFromWithin.com. And the last one is NakedSoulSite.com. That's www.NakedSoulSite.com. So, you know, go ahead and pull up all of them or some of them or one of them, and I believe that you'll get a very full example of Marco and who he is and what he's up to in the world. So, Marco, what was it that inspired you to investigate and explore how pets love music?
Well, I always noticed, since I was little, I always related to music as a way to feel a higher sense of connection with life. And I always noticed that everything I was playing, somehow either my pets or animals would come closer. But that was more like a subconscious feeling. But it was brought consciously when one day, a few years ago, I gave one of my CDs of piano music to a friend of mine who is a cat expert. When I create music, I love to give as a gift to my friends. And so she called me back after a few days and she said, well, this music is great, it's wonderful, and it relaxes me. But most of all, it really helped me out because my five cats, when I put the music on, they just instantly relax and they are really quiet, and I can really, you know, do whatever I need to do. And so that gave me a little bit of an idea about making music for pets. That initiated, triggering me a little bit of an idea. And so I made some researches. At that time, there was not such a thing as music for pets. I think now there is the concept is starting to come out because we are speeding up in terms of awakening and consciousness, and so we're starting to understand that vibration and sound really has an effect on everything, because everything is sound, everything is vibration.
Mm-hmm. And frequency. And I know, too, that at least one registered nurse plays your music as her patients are being put to sleep.
Yes. For my relationship with music, the creativity behind the music is a very mysterious fact for me. It's very. I really don't know what and how it happened. It just happened when I put myself in a situation of non-mind. I would say I'm just a little container. Like most, I think, expression of art, creative expression are just a situation where you really step out of the way and allow a true source to communicate through you. And when that happens, it always has healing power.
Right. And I know also that horses, cats, and dogs are what you focus on for your music. And how do horses respond to it?
Well, I spent a long time with horses. They are extremely beautiful animals, and they are extremely sensitive. And they have a tendency to be a little bit over excitable. They get very easily excited, and so the music really soothes them and calms them down. I have a few people that have been giving me some wonderful testimonials about the music, and they try it, and they notice a lot of differences. But, you know, regarding Pets Love Music, just recently a new awareness came to me of the why I'm doing this. I noticed that, yes, of course, the music is healing, is relaxing the animals, but I also noticed that as humans, when we relate to animals and when we relate to music, we are much more prone to open our soul and our heart. And so I imagine when both simultaneously are a part of our reality, that could be a very powerful healing process for us. That's why the music is for pets and pets lovers.
Yes, absolutely. And I was reading some of your testimonials on your website, and, you know, what I noted over and over again is the way I feel is that, you know, my husband and I enjoyed listening to the music every bit as much as our pets. And even when our pets aren't in the room with us, we still like to listen to Dog Dreams and Cat Dreams. And just, you know, it just, when you think that you heard the best of the best, another, you know, track comes on and it's even better than the one before, and they're all different, and the variety is it's just seamless the way it goes from one kind of a sound to the next kind of sound. And it's clear to me that you do channel this and that you're in the moment when you're composing. And, you know, what do you do to prepare for this music to come through you like this? I have a lot of entertainment industry listeners, and many of them are actors, and, you know, many of them are my clients. I'm also a talent manager. And what I love to talk about and focus on is how to open up the actor, the client, to a place where they can just channel creator through them in their work. So what do you do to prepare for this music to come through you?
You know, Kate, I really don't, I don't have a secret or a technique that I apply. It really is a mysteriousness, and it really happened in the most unpredictable way. Most of the time when the music, when a melody comes through me is in the most unexpected way, when I really am not... It's just a matter of creating a bridge, I guess, with the present moment, because the present moment is really the only thing that exists. The rest is just mind stream of thoughts, and are most of them are an hallucination. They are really a fantasy. But when between one thought and another, there is always a space. No matter how crowded is your mind, there is always a space. Once you can stretch that space, then you tap into the real you, and that's where the magic happens. In my case, it happened through music, and everybody has their own special gift. So life expresses itself in as many ways as many we are here in the planet. So, but when it comes to me, is when I'm in that space, it comes in form of music, it comes in form of melodies, and it's really a few seconds. It's not really a long process. It's done. In fact, the only thing I can say in terms of preparing is I have to make sure that I have a tape recorder next to me, because I can play it only once and I cannot repeat it.
Oh.
I don't record it, it's lost.
Right, right. Wow, that is the channeling at its finest. Interesting. I'm just looking at something on your Melodies from Within website. It says, music is the door, the bridge between us and our soul. It's like a ray of light which illuminates the darkness of our fears and disintegrates all inhibitions. When we completely lose ourselves in an honest musical experience, we are our true selves, open, vulnerable, and real. Wow, that is such a wonderful description of what your music is like.
Well, thank you. So now you have it.
Yes, and, you know, I've just, to discover your CDs the way that I did, and at a time when I haven't had a puppy or a dog as a pet since I was 9 years old, and so it was a big deal for me to go ahead and allow myself to open my heart to animals again, because there was a very tragic experience that happened with dogs in my life when I was 9, and I closed my heart off to keep from feeling the pain of that. And so, you know, at this point in my life, I finally realized that I can open my heart again and heal that place in me. So I found your CDs very soon after we got our puppy Chewbacca, who's a teacup Yorkshire Terrier, and what a little ball of love and energy. And, you know, he just had separation anxiety because, you know, he's taken away from his mommy, he's taken away from his siblings, and, you know, they all travel in packs, and here he is with his two-legged mom and dad, and, you know, he was troubled for a while until he adjusted, and the CDs just really helped with that transition so much that I just really was fascinated that you would do something so kind and generous for pets and for their owners to bond. I just really think that was a wonderful thing that you've contributed.
Thank you, Kate. You know, it's interesting because I had to pass through the same transition when I came into this physical form. It was as shocking as your pet. And the way I was actually coping with it, it was through a big help that was coming from music when I was playing in my earlier stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar story your pet has. It's very similar to mine.
Right. And, you know, this music, I believe... I'm just thinking of all kinds of places where your music would be very beneficial, like in a hospice where people are waiting to go through their transition.
Yes.
Hear this music could really help them to find peace within themselves. And I was watching the Michael Jackson memorial service today, and how Martin Luther King's daughter said that when her mother was dying, that Michael Jackson called her from the Middle East and told her that he's on his knees daily praying for her well-being because she is truly royalty, and that he hoped that she had music playing in her room because music is incredibly healing, and I know that it is. So for the registered nurse who wrote a testimonial for you to have her play the music while her patients are going under anesthesia was extremely insightful of her, because for one thing, when you're being put under anesthesia, that's pretty close to death, because you're surrendering yourself and you have no say-so over it. And what a lot of people don't know is when you're under anesthesia, your consciousness is still active and you can hear everything that's going on. And if something happens in the room while you're under anesthesia, like somebody gets angry and yells at somebody, or there's some kind of discord, that can really cause some kind of psychological imbalance in the person who's under anesthesia. And they can grapple with that for years and years without knowing what it is. And to have your music playing during that process could only, you know, keep that situation and that experience for the patient as healthy as possible and have them come out of it and heal quicker. So I'm just finding a lot of healing in the frequency of your music. And, you know, this radio show is all frequency. And, you know, our vocal cords are frequency, and everything is frequency. And it seems like you've been chosen to be a vessel for creating compositions that speak to the people who need to hear it most. And the ones who need what you have to offer find you. So I really am happy to have you on the radio show to help those who are in need of what you have to offer to find you. So thanks for making yourself available.
Thank you, Kate. I'm honored to be a part of your show. And yes, your words resonates to me. It feels like the time is coming very quickly for all of us. For this is a very magical time being on Earth. We are coming closer to a huge transformation, and so some of us are light worker, and so they are really working on their gift for this moment, in support of this moment. And I always felt, since I was born, since I was conscious, I always felt that something extraordinary was about to happen, and I had to follow. I have to follow through with a sense of responsibility towards what was given to me in terms of melodies. And so I've been working all this year for this moment that is about to come, like many of us, like probably all of us, because we are all working at ourselves in certain ways. And so, yes, it's very exciting because right now, this world feels less lonely. It feels right. Like we are starting to coming together as really brother and sister that we really are, you know?
Yes.
And so
yes.
I'm very excited. Very
yes,
excited.
And you're a big part of it too. And, you know, your music is very bonding. And I just know that the aloneness that we've all felt came from a feeling of separateness, because we lost touch with the fact that we are all connected. And, you know, people like light workers, as you mentioned, like yourself and many, 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 many others, are bringing about the remembering. The word recognize comes from recognize, meaning to remember who you really are and that we are all one. And, you know, Pets Love Music is really the way I discovered your music and compositions, and everything else that you do as well as the Pets Love Music is designed for the healing of that separateness, in my opinion. And that's the feeling that I get from your music. So, you know, and being today was a big marker for the fact that we have enjoyed having a legacy of Michael Jackson on the planet, and I bring him up again because it was a very powerful memorial service that we watched today. And the power of music cannot even be described. It's frequency. Everything is energy, and music really moves the soul, and it can transform a person in a heartbeat. And I believe that when you take those couple of seconds to channel your music and you need a tape recorder to capture it because you can't repeat it, that's pure source energy coming through you. And we all have that ability, and it seems like you were either born with an ability to step away from your ego self to allow source energy to come through you, or you've trained yourself to do it, or life has pushed you to enlightenment where going into the dark was not an option for you. So in your background, was there some kind of a tragedy or a crisis that had you really take a closer look at your life at all?
No. It wasn't a tragedy. I would say that I came with that sensation of longing for love and unity, and again which was found most of the time when music was playing, and so my attempt was always trying to recreate that situation, because even when I was a child, I always want everybody hugging each other and being together and holding and loving each other. And I could not see it. Where is the love? Where is the love? I remember when I was little, everybody, we were so separated. Now I understand how important for me, this walking sort of in this sort of solitude was for me because it was important for me to understand the human drama, so that now I am much more stronger and much more equipped to do whatever I have to do. And so I'm still holding the vision right now. Of course, the vision stretched, it became more and more. Now I've always been holding this vision of making big concerts for healing, where people come and we all embrace ourselves through the power of sound and music, and then eventually the revenues for this concert goes to good causes. So it's a win-win situation where everybody just win, you know.
Right.
And it's not about making entertainment, which is, it will be entertainment, will be there, but that's not the idea. The idea is to really open the heart, because at this time, it's probably the most important thing to do for us as human is to open our heart.
Yes. Yes.
And so the concert is this idea of making live concert, because there is no better way to listen music live.
Right.
So I always have this vision of performing in front of an audience, not even me, is because it's not really about me.
Right.
It's about sharing whatever is being given to me first, you know, and share it with everybody else.
Right.
So it's not, again, it's not about entertainment, but it's about creating a bond of love, of deep unity.
Right, and I just thought of a word. When you said entertainment, I thought of innertainment.
Right.
I-N-N-E-R.
Yes, makes sense, of course. Because, yes.
I would like to see you play at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. It would be a wonderful opportunity, and it might happen. Who knows? We'll see.
Right. We went to the Hollywood Bowl on Friday night, July 3rd, for the kickoff of 4th of July, and John Fogerty was playing, who is just an amazing talent. And the symphony orchestra was just phenomenal. And it's such a beautiful venue because the acoustics there are amazing, just amazing. And we had the best time, and there were fireworks and all of that. And I just see you playing on that stage.
Well, thank you.
Yep, I'm holding that vision for you.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it, for sure.
Yeah, so where do you see yourself in 10 years from now? What will you be doing, if you could have it any way you want it?
Well, 10 years from now, believe it or not, I see a world that is so different. It's so dramatically different from where we are right now, 10 years from now, even less than 10 years from now. But how do I see myself? Even more immersed in my self-expansion and growth, and in my being a servant, in serving, helping, supporting through, again, sound, music, and through live music. That's what I see in a larger spectrum. I see the music playing, like you said, in all kind of healing situation. It can be music for people that are suffering of disease, music in support of the transition from life to death, to afterlife. It can be music for pregnant women that are about to give birth.
Yes.
It can be, there is so many possibility, dysfunctional, handicapped people, situation for trauma. Right now I'm producing a series of meditation CDs for people who had a big trauma.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm producing a song, a 2012 song.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot that is going to happen, and we are really shifting. So I'm very excited, very, very excited, and very grateful to be here.
That's wonderful. And, you know, we're grateful to have you. So when you worked on these television shows like Melrose Place and Port Charles. How was that for you? Did that feel like your music was getting into the mainstream and its healing qualities were inflected in the music that you provided for Melrose Place in Port Charles? Or was it different? Was it something they that you already had composed that they wanted for their show, or did you compose something specifically for those shows?
No, they actually heard some music from my catalogs, and they asked me if they could use it. For the reason we already talked about, I haven't really connected so much with the music industry, because the music industry has a very low density in many, many aspects. It's really a business, and so for some reason I never was prone to move forward in the direction. I always had my own journey, and I am actually very happy that I haven't had any really large or big success before, because it would have been the right time. It would have been, again, entertainment,
right.
Not healing. Now we are getting to a point where we are seeing the power of music as healing. And that's where, I can find myself much more with a stronger identity than before. Before it would have been me creating music from a mind state, which I really cannot do. I don't even know how to do it. I try to maintain a high level of purity when it comes to the creative process. So I try not to know much about it.
Right.
Because when you know a lot, then you are polluted with ideas of rightness and wrongness or how to do things. And so when you are in that state, it's very difficult to express greatness. Greatness can express itself only when you don't know really what you're doing. Like weird what I'm saying, but that's my experience at least.
Right. And you can tell when Creator is working on you, when the universe is working on you, when God is working on you, because in those moments, you don't know what you're doing, and you don't know what's going to happen next. And the best thing to do during those moments is to be perfectly still and to have microscopic trust and faith that all of it will work out, and on the other side will be the next level of where you're meant to be on your journey. It's the hardest thing to do, but in those moments when Creator, Source, God, Universe is working on you, nothing and no one can help you move through it other than yourself by sitting still and allowing the magic to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, of course.
And
of course.
And you know, it's clear to me that you're at a level and a frequency where you can do that. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. So do you happen to have anything that comes to mind, and it doesn't have to be right, wrong, or indifferent, anything that comes to mind, Marco, when I ask you the question of what are some action steps that a person can take to explore their inner self and to find that purity you were speaking of, which means you stepped out of your own way. Do you have any action steps that might come through you right now for our listeners who are so creative and they know that they're not giving us all of their creativity? They're still holding back because they don't know how to access all of it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's really a simple process, and sometimes simplicity is the most difficult thing to achieve. But it's really about surrendering to the now, and then once you give up, expectations or neediness of things to happen in a certain way, and you just tap into the joy, pure joy, and the present moment, then the magic of life can find you and can express itself through you. It's really a sort of a meditation kind of state where you are just connected with life, which means again, no thoughts, not thinking, because thinking invites attention that blockages the energy. It's very difficult to think and to create at the same time. Very few people. When you can do it, it always come out a mediocre result, because those thoughts are part of your ego, and so there is a lot, sort of an anxiety, there is a worry, there is a fear, there is a distance between you and love, there is a distance between you and life. So you have to fully embrace life by just giving up the sense of self and just allow things to happen, and sometimes happen, sometimes they don't, and that's fine. And personally, what happened when I was a child, and even now, when I'm close to an instrument, I start to vibrate more. I have this feeling, even if I don't know how to play it. In fact, I really don't know how to play. Although I make my living playing, if you ask me what I'm doing, I have no idea. I have very little knowledge of what I'm doing when I play the piano, when I compose, or when and I want to keep it that way. I try to be as less educated as possible. Because again, once you are educated, then again you are trapped in your thoughts.
Right.
And once you are trapped in your thoughts, you cannot create art that has divine content.
Yes.
Or you can, but it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. You have to be extremely intelligent, very intelligent, to be able to use knowledge in a way that doesn't interfere with the divine source. It's very tricky.
Right, that is very tricky.
Yeah. So I don't have to do that because I don't have so much knowledge. So I don't have that problem.
That's wonderful. My son is also the same way you just described. Whenever he gets around an instrument, he vibrates. He used to sing into a hairbrush and play a broom, pretending it was a guitar. Now he has several guitars, and I bought him a banjo for Christmas one year, and he'd never played it before. And as soon as he opened the box, he started playing a very popular banjo song called Deliverance. And he just knew how. He didn't even know how he knew how, but he knew how. And his father used to play the trumpet, and he was the best in the state. And so I gave my son a trumpet, and without even showing him how to blow it, he started playing taps. So, you know, and today is a very fine musician, composer, songwriter, singer, amazing. And he never had lessons. He just knows how. And he didn't encumber himself with learning. He wanted to go to the Musicians Institute. And at the same time, he had a concern that it would cause him to lose his own voice. So he made the choice not to go. And I know if you want to be a studio musician, that you do need to read music. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. But now we are entering a different form of musicality. I just want to say that that magic that we are talking about, it's truly accessible to everybody. It's not only for a few. The old-fashioned way of thinking is that only few have talent or have that geniality within themselves. It is my strong belief that we all have access to a geniality that comes from divine source. Maybe, and we all have in a different way because we all have different fingerprints. So everybody will express us in different way, but we are all gifted. And it's very important we start to see ourselves in that way, because so many times I hear people, oh, I don't have gift, I don't know what to do, I'm just, you know, I'm I don't know, I wish I have your talent. No, everybody has talent. Everybody is special.
Right. And that's why it's so important for a person to find out what calls to them and figure out what their purpose is. And once, you know, some people spend their lifetime just trying to find out what the purpose is, and then when they find their purpose, even late in life, they become very well known for painting or music or anything, because they didn't know what their purpose was because they were so busy thinking they're supposed to make a living or doing what their families thought they should be doing and living by other people's standards. And, you know, it's not to make it wrong the way that we start out in life, unless some parents are very, very enlightened. You know, the child is going to get programmed to do things just the way they've been done for generations, which takes away their own fingerprint, really, and their own voice. So it takes a lot of courage to step outside of the box like you have, and it takes a lot of inner knowing and self-knowledge. And it sounds to me like you were just born that way, Marco, and a lot of people aren't. So they really need to work at this surrendering and work at, you know, exploring, is there something more? And one of the best traits of a billionaire is to be ferociously curious. And to be ferociously curious about one's own greatness, I believe, would do the whole world so much good if we would all just be ferociously curious about our greatness and our divinity and go about finding that and reconnecting with that. Because if you have a world of people who are connected to their divinity, I can't think of a better utopia, can you?
Well, no, you're right. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think we are going there. I think our human journey has been shaped in this way for specific reasons, and now we are getting to a climax, a turning point where all this will make sense. It's been so far a world that has been safety oriented, and now we have to shift to a joy oriented world more than safety oriented world.
Yes, and I believe we have a really great president right now who is helping us all get in touch with a higher part of ourselves than we had permission to do before. And, you know, it's if you look at who our president is today, it is a marking post, a signpost for the way things are evolving and the direction that the world is going in, which is evolution at a momentum that can't be stopped.
Absolutely. I believe we have a wonderful man that is in charge, and I have a lot of joyful expectations about it.
Oh yes, and it's just, you know, in order to turn a ship around, you need a lot of space if it's a big ship, and our country is a very big ship, so it's going to take a lot of space to turn that ship around, which means, you know, we're all going to need to midwife that ship's turning around, meaning that we are all responsible for helping the ship turn around by trust and faith and belief and action. So, you know, I feel really good about who's leading the country today, and I believe that it's because of contrast of what was going on before this new president caused us to wake up and say, wait a minute, I'm going to be more responsible about who I vote for, and I'm going to be more conscious about the way I live my life. So it's all perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yes. I have an urge to ask you, what is your fondest memory of living in Rome and just, you know, being with family in Italy? What is your fondest memory from your childhood?
Well, Italy is a very special place. It has a lot of warmth, a lot of so wonderful way to express love and intimacy, particularly when it comes to family, when it comes to relating. So it's I think about Italy now, I feel love. I feel warmth. I'm very blessed. It was a beautiful country. It was necessary for my own personal journey to a certain point, let it step out from the safety zone in order to stretch and step into the unknown and be daring, so that I could really shake the tree and start to move towards a higher level of consciousness, so that I could do what I have to do. So at a certain point, no matter how beautiful is your place, you have to let go. You have to go.
Right. Expand.
It is important to maintain a pioneeristic approach to life, because life is about moving energy and daring and constantly let go of the need of safety. And so when we feel too safe, it may be time to dare a little bit and to try something new, to go into the unknown, and to go in a place that maybe scares us a little bit, but that's positive fear. It's a fear of somebody that is trying to evolve.
I have an acronym for fear, F-E-A-R. I have it mean feeling excited and ready.
That's great.
Because, you know, there is, fear isn't necessarily bad. Fear can move you and motivate you into, you know, taking that risk, because really we chose to be in these physical shoes in this lifetime, and for many people, they don't yet realize that they chose this. They just sort of think they just showed up and, oh, well, I'm here, now what? When we were all born with a very special voice and a very special gift and a very special purpose, and it's like our fingerprint, it's different. And if we don't find out what that is and share it with the world, then our being here in this lifetime is not being utilized to its fullest. And, you know, one thing that I love to do as a talent manager and a life coach and a radio host and every other thing that I do in life, I really love to help people remember who they are and watch them discover their wings and discover that they've been there the whole time and they've always worked fine. And nothing gives me greater joy than to do that. And that's one thing I love about being a mother, is to watch, you know, the light come on in the eyes and the courage show up and the faith and the joy and just watch a person take off and fly when they didn't think they could is the most beautiful thing to me.
Of course.
And you've done that, which is one reason that having you on the show appealed to me so much, is to share that with our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate.
So, Marco?
Yeah.
When you say that you had to get outside of your safety zone, what did that feel like for you when you did it? How did you know that you had done it, that you had gotten outside of your safety zone? What did that feel like for you?
Well, first of all, I constantly am out of. I don't almost ever live in a state of safety. I constantly move forward out of the safety zone. So it's a very familiar state at this point in my life. But how do I feel when I do that? I feel vibrantly alive.
Right.
I feel connected, and I feel enthusiastic. And sometimes it is scary. I feel some fear. But again, it's a fear, it's a positive fear. The negative fear would be the one that actually makes me stay put into the safety zone.
Right.
But the fear that I constantly deal with is the fear of a voice inside me that says, come on, well, now it's time to jump into this part. Now go here. Try
right.
this. I know it's scary, but do it. Go. You know, and that really, I don't think I could live differently. I could not stay too much in the safety zone.
It's right.
Beautiful for a moment. It gives you the sense of peacefulness, but then you have to go back and stretch again and become more, because we live in a new universe that is constantly expanding, is constantly moving, and so stagnancy it will lead to disease.
Oh yes, I agree with you. So what you've basically done is you've become comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's great. And a lot of people don't want to be uncomfortable, and they'll spend thousands of dollars and years and all kinds of energy on not being uncomfortable, when what I believe is you're not really living unless you are uncomfortable and learning to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because if you're comfortable, you're not expanding. And when you're uncomfortable, that means that you're risking. And if you're risking, that means that you're growing. And there's all kinds of risks. I'm not saying you should go and, you know, try to pet a wild bear. That's not the risk I'm talking about. The risk I'm talking about is daring to express yourself even if nobody agrees with you. That's the risk.
It's really about following your joy.
Yeah.
If we learn to identify our joy, our true joy, not the joy of the ego, but the joy that comes from our heart, it's a joy that always will ask to be playful, but at the same time to stretch out, to be daring. So the joy is just life telling you where to go, really, and that's what I base my daily life. Every choice I make, I do it from a state of joy.
When
I don't, I feel it right away. I feel it right away. When I don't, I feel right away uncomfortable, and it doesn't feel good anymore.
Right. And when you're feeling negative, that's a big sign that you have drifted away from source. And when you're feeling that joy again, that's an indication that you are connected to source. And I have a saying that that true genius is not based on academics, how smart you are from books. I believe true genius is determined by how connected to source or creator or the universe that you are, because the more connected you are, connected you are to source, the more you become a sorcerer or a sorceress. And we all know what sorceresses and sorcerers can do, right? They can be, do, and have anything they choose.
Yes, and not only that, but that really is the only way to support the world, to learn to make our light brighter. Many people find ways to, they need to heal the world, they need to help, and sometimes I notice it's sort of a way to step out from the only true responsibility, which is the one to reach our own joy and our own self-love. And once we, only when we love ourselves and when we are in a state of joy, we can really support other people.
Right. Yeah. That's so true. So we're coming up on the end of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour, and I really want to thank you, Marco, for doing what you do in life and for being courageous enough to come from Italy to Los Angeles to pursue what you know in your heart you're to be doing, which is to create and cause pure expansion and healing in our planet, and also to create a bond between humanity, nature, and animals, and to remind us all that we are indeed connected and not separate, and cure the loneliness and disease of the mind that has us believe that we are alone when we're not. So I want to thank you very much for following your dream and being a contribution to our world the way that you are. And, you know, I'm very excited to see what you come up with next. And I'm wondering, is there somewhere that you're playing locally in Los Angeles where our listeners can come and see you?
Right now I am preparing developing some projects. I'm not performing publicly, But I certainly will keep you posted and let you know when the right time will come for my concert, for my
Wonderful.
Naked Soul concert.
And we want front row seats.
Okay.
So let me give your website again. There's two of them that I'll give. That's petslovemusic.com and melodiesfromwithin.com. And if you go to either of those sites, you will find what you're looking for. And is it true, Marco, that Pets Love Music is linked to your other websites as well?
Oh, yes. They are all interlinked. Yes, absolutely.
That's good. And so anybody can purchase the Cat Dreams and Dog Dreams and Horse Dreams and any of your other music from your website?
Yes, they can.
Wonderful. I highly encourage and invite everybody listening to check out the music. As we were saying, it's an experiential thing. Once you hear it, I believe you're going to want to own it and listen to it over and over again. It just really opens up the heart, and it's a beautiful thing. So thank you again, Marco, for being my guest this evening. Keep doing your thing. Keep expanding. Keep feeling that discomfort and that wonderful excitement, which is, you know, also called fear, feeling excited and ready, and for being a wonderful role model for everybody who knows about you and all of those who will know about you. And I want to thank the listeners for being with me this week, and we'll see you next week for another wonderful Spiritual Hollywood Hour. And everyone, just remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So get busy creating the life that you love and making a difference in your own way, which is your fingerprint. Thanks again, everyone, and have a good night.